For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is August the 30th, and we are continuing with our shiur in Parshas Chukas. We're in the Stone Chumash on page 852. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21. This is the first of two shiurim that we are planning to have during Elul and before we break again until after Sukkot. Pasuk says, Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim El Sichon Melech HaEmori Leimor. Yisrael sent messengers to Sichon, the king of the Amori, saying, Ebro V'Artzecha, let me pass through your land. Lo nitem b'sadeh uvecherem, we will not turn, neither to a field or to a vineyard. Lo nishtem ve'er, we will not drink the water of a well. B'derech hamelech neilech, we will go on the path of the king. Ad asher ne'avor givulecha, till we pass through your boundary. In other words, we will not damage your country in any way. All we're going to do is pass through your land. This is very similar to the request that they had sent to Edom, which we learned earlier in Parshas Chukas, and Edom refused to let us go through. Although it is not recorded in the Chumash, it is recorded in the Navi that we also asked permission. It's actually recorded later on. We asked permission to go through through Moab and through Ammon as well. All of them refused us, and now we're right outside the border of Sichon, of the Amori, and we ask permission. So, now, here, there's no mention why Moshe Rabbeinu asked permission. He was not told he needed to ask permission to go through the Amori. The Amori are one of the nations of the seven nations of Canaan that we are commanded to destroy, and there was no restriction on our attacking the Amori. There was a restriction on us attacking Edom. There was a restriction on us attacking Moab and Ammon, which we talked about extensively before. And we're going to talk a little more about it now, about how Eretz Yisrael would have been landlocked because of them. But there was no restriction to attack the Amori and to attack Sihon. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu asked permission rather than just come in and attack. So here, he doesn't explain why. In Sefer Devarim, when this story is repeated, so there is a reference to why Moshe Rabbeinu here asked permission to go through. And I think we are going to turn there. If you hold a place here on page 852, and let's turn to, a moment please, let's turn to page 952 in Parshas Devarim. Page 952, 100 pages later, in Parshas Devarim, in Pasuk Chavah, verse 26, Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting the story we're about to read over here in Parshas Chukas. As happens in Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu repeats a lot of what happened in the Chumash earlier. So in Pasuk Chavah, verse 26, the Pasuk says, Va'eshlach malachim mimidbar kidemos. I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kidemos, El Sichon Melech Cheshbon, to Sichon, the king of Cheshbon, Divrei Shalom, words of Shalom Lamar saying, and then essentially the same as what we have over here. The question is, what is this reference to Midbar Kidemos, to the wilderness of Kidemos? We're not familiar with such a place as Midbar Kidemos. And so Rashi here explains, in the name of Chazal, that it actually, Kedem means that which comes early, that which preceded everything. So Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, where did I learn that I was supposed to open with shalom, that I should not just attack, even though I was allowed to do that from Hashem, but still, it is appropriate to ask permission first. From where did I learn that? I learned that from that which preceded the world. That which came before the world. What came before the world? Well, Hashem came before the world, and the Torah came before the world. So, as Rashi explains over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I learned from Hashem, I learned from the Torah. I learned from Hashem because when Hashem was prepared to take us out of Mitzrayim, Hashem could have simply sent, as Rashi says, a bolt of lightning and struck down the Egyptians, and we just would have walked out of there with no problem. But instead, Hashem sent Moshe Rabbeinu to go and ask for us to go out, knowing that Paro would say no. Nevertheless, even though Paro was going to say no, Hashem was teaching us that one should always open with shalom. Even if it does not seem probable that there'll be shalom, nevertheless one should open with shalom. So he learned from Hashem, who comes before the world. The other explanation is he learned from the Torah that came before the world, meaning when Hashem was ready to give the Torah to us, again, Hashem could have just given it to us. But Hashem first went around to the rest of the nations and asked them, would you like the Torah? Knowing they were going to say no, nevertheless, Hashem did not just treat it as a foregone conclusion, but rather started with shalom and asked them, would you like the Torah? They rejected it. But Hashem was teaching us that it is appropriate to begin with shalom. So Moshe Rabbeinu over here, even though here in Parshas Chukas, back on page 852, there is no reference to why Moshe Rabbeinu asked Sichon permission, but in Devarim on page 952, we learn the reason, a couple of possible reasons. Now, Sichon was a very, very powerful king. Sichon himself, we know more about the size of Og. Og, we know, was a massive giant. The dimensions of his crib are mentioned. The size of his crib, which seems to be the size of his crib when he was a child. That's what it seems to be, although it's very difficult to understand that part of the Torah. When we get to it, we will discuss it. Be'ezras Hashem. However, we know Og was a very, very large person. There's also a medrash that when Moshe Rabbeinu killed Og, that he jumped. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amos tall, and he jumped 10 amos, and he had a sword that was 10 amos, and he struck Og in the ankle, which would seem to indicate that Og was a very, very large person. If that medrash is literal, that would make Og a very, very tall and big person. So we know that Og is a very large person. Sichon, we don't get that kind of description, but we are told that he was a very, very powerful warrior, perhaps the most powerful warrior in the world at this time. The Sichon and Og, both being so powerful, were not scared of us. They were not scared of the Jewish people. The proof of that is, as Rashi explains, they did not send for each other for help. Sichon could have sent to Og and say, I need your help. The Jews are about to come through my land. It's not like it was a panic situation because we had opened with shalom. We didn't start with an attack. It wasn't a sneak attack. We said we'd like to go through. So Sichon had the opportunity to send for Og and ask for him to help, but he did not. So since he did not, we see that Sichon was very confident in his ability to win this war against the Jewish people. In addition, we will learn, it's also not here, it is in Sefer Devarim, in Parshas Devarim, that Sichon had a son who was also as powerful as he was. So we're talking about a very, very powerful group of people here in Sichon and his son and the Amori. So they were strategically situated outside of Eretz Yisrael on the east bank of the Jordan River in present-day Jordan, and they were hired by all the surrounding nations to protect them from attackers. Hired is probably a nice way of saying it. They probably extracted tribute from all the surrounding nations in exchange for protection. That would be the way that it's typically set up. But that is what happened. So Sihon was the one who would keep out all foreign nations who weren't coming peacefully into Eretz Canaan and to the surrounding areas. So, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, verse 23, V'lo nasan Sihon es Yisrael avor bigvulo. Sihon did not allow the Jewish people to pass through his boundary. V'yesov Sihon es kol amo. Sihon gathered his entire nation. V'yetzei likras Yisrael hamidbara. And he went out to meet the Jews in the wilderness. V'yavo yatsa. And he came to the place called Yohatz. V'yilochem b'Yisrael. And he made war with the Jewish people. Vayakehu Yisrael lefi charev, and the Jews struck him down by the sword. Vayirash es artzo, and they conquered his land. Me Arnon ad Yabok ad Bnei Amon, from Arnon until Yabok, which is a small river, until Amon, ki az gvul Bnei Amon, because the boundary of Amon was strong. They did not conquer anywhere past the boundary of Ammon, because the boundary of Ammon was powerful. This sounds like it was too powerful for them to conquer. It was too strong. The boundary of Ammon was a powerful fortress, and they couldn't get past there. So they only conquered the area of Sihon and the Amori, which included from Arnon until the Yabok, until Ammon, but that's it. Not beyond that, because it was too powerful. We know, however, that they could have conquered Ammon. They were far stronger than Ammon. The Jewish people, if they defeated Sichon, they could have easily defeated Ammon. What does it mean that the boundary was too strong? This goes back to what we said several times, that the Jews were not allowed to attack neither Moab nor Ammon. And therefore, because of that protection that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you may not attack Ammon, that made their boundary strong. The boundary was strong not because there was a physical threat to us if we would attack, but rather there was a mitzvah that we had to keep, that we were not allowed to attack Ammon. As an aside, as we approach the Yamim Noraim, we approach Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I've mentioned this to you before, that the Pasuk says, The Pasuk tells us, the language the Pasuk uses is lo sucha le'echol bisharecha, you're not able to eat in your gates, and it's referring to various things that must be eaten in and around Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, and it says you're not allowed to eat these things, you're not allowed to eat these things outside of Yerushalayim. But the language of the Pasuk is lo suchal, you are unable to eat. Not, it doesn't say you're not allowed to, it says you're unable to. And this was the subject of a shmooze that we once heard from my Rebbe, Rabbi Berkowitz, in Yeshiva, in Neri Yisrael, that the way that a mitzvah is supposed to be, is the way a commandment is supposed to be, is that we are unable to do it. Rather than we're not allowed to, not allowed should be synonymous with unable. We simply can't cross that line. We don't have the ability to because it is prohibited. And here, that is what the Torah is saying, that the boundary of Ammon was powerful. We could not cross it because we were told not to. So therefore, we only were able to conquer the area of Sihon and Og. I want to remind you, in case you do not recall, that the Yabok is a riverway that had been mentioned earlier. You might recall, this goes back perhaps 10 years ago, when we learned Parshas Vayishlach. Back in Parshas Vayishlach, which you can look back to if you wish, I will tell you the page number in a moment, but in Parshas Vayishlach, when the Jewish people were headed back, when Yaakov and his family were headed back to Yitzchak. They were headed from Lavan back to Eretz Yisrael, and we know that Esav confronted Yaakov. So we know that on page 174, all the way back in Parshas Vayishlach, so the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Chav Gimel verse 23 that Yaakov got up in the nighttime and he took his wives and his 11 children, Vayavor Es Ma'arvar Yabok, and he crossed the crossing of Yabok. That is the same river that we're talking about over here. And then when Yaakov went back for the Pachim Ketanim, for the small vessels, that's when he met the angel of Esav and had that famous battle with the angel of Esav. So the Yabok is the boundary into Eretz, the between the land of Ammon and the land of Aver HaYarden, the area that we conquer and make part of Eretz Yisrael, right over here in Parashas Chukas. Pasuk Chavhei, verse 25. Vayikach Yisrael eis kol ha'arim ha'ela. And the Jews took all of these cities, all the cities of the Amori. Vayeshev Yisrael b'chol arei ha'amori. And the Jews dwelled in all the cities of the Amori, b'cheshbon u'v'chol b'noseha. In Cheshbon, which was the capital city, and all of its suburbs, all the, literally means all its daughters. It means other cities, little smaller hamlets that surrounded or were in proximity to Cheshbon. Cheshbon was the powerful fortress of the Amori, and we now conquered Cheshbon. Now, this city, Cheshbon, is a very pivotal and important city. Cheshbon is, as I mentioned, a fortress. Sichon is perhaps the most powerful warrior in the world of that day. It seems that Cheshbon might have been the most powerful fortified city of that day. And therefore, the combination of Sichon in Cheshbon was a combination that would seem to be immovable, that they were unconquerable. They were beyond powerful. No one could possibly conquer Sichon when he dwelled in Cheshbon. We're going to learn about Cheshbon now in the ensuing psukim, but before we do that, let's mention that that Chazal tell us that really Hashem could have had us go and conquer Sichon in Cheshbon, the most powerful warrior in the world, with maybe the most powerful army, but certainly he was the most powerful warrior, with a son as powerful as he, in the most fortified and powerful city of the day. And Hashem could have, of course, conquered that as well. Nothing stands in the way of Hashem. He could have done whatever he wants. So he could have sent us there, and easily we would have defeated Sichon in Cheshbon. However, it would have taken effort for us to go and conquer each and every city. When you conquer a city, you have to lay siege to the city. It takes time. It's not so quick. So Hashem said, why should I make it hard on my children, on the Jewish people? I will put it in the heads of Sichon and his cohorts that they will come forth from the cities in order to attack the Jewish people. I'll put this crazy idea in their heads that, we can rout the Jews, and they'll come out with all of their army, and all of the men will come out, leaving the women and children alone in those cities, and they will attack the Jewish people. They will get destroyed by the Jews, and then the cities will be easily taken over because there will be no soldiers left guarding any of the cities. They may have walls, but essentially, with no soldiers, those walls cannot be defended. And so we would be easily be able to take over Cheshbon and all of the fortified cities in the Amori. Now, if you think about it, one could ask a strong question over here. Wouldn't it be a greater Kiddush Hashem? Wouldn't it be a greater sanctification of Hashem's name to have us go and attack the Amori and attack Sichon in Cheshbon, and the combination of the greatest warrior in the world with the greatest fortified city of the world, and for us to defeat him there, wouldn't that make a splash in all the headlines and it would be something which would scare everybody out of their wits, that you see the Jews are unstoppable. Wouldn't that have been a better move? But Chazal tell us, no, Hashem didn't do it that way. And the reason given is because Hashem says, Lama atriach albanai, why should I make it difficult for my children? Hashem here is putting us in front of Kiviyachol, him, and so to speak, in front of him, rather than sanctify his name in a greater fashion. Our, so to speak, comfort level, our not being troubled takes preference over Hashem's, the sanctifying of Hashem's name. That does not seem logical. You would think, why are we here? Are we not here for one purpose and one purpose only, that is to sanctify God's name? Is that not the reason why everybody in the world exists? Are we not created for only one purpose, and that is to be megalah kvod shamayim, to bring out the honor of heaven? Is that not the reason why we live in this world? So what does it mean that Hashem puts us before him? Wouldn't it be putting us before him to put him first? That we should fulfill our purpose in this world, which is to bring out the greatness of Hashem? Wouldn't that have been a greater thing? And so it seems that Hashem here is making it clear that Hashem's, so to speak, greatness in this world, Hashem's greatness is not dependent on anything else, but making his name known in this world, the sanctification of Hashem's name, Kiddush Hashem, is wrapped up with the Jewish people, with us. The way that Hashem is going to be known in this world, Hashem has tied himself, so to speak, his name, with us. As we rise, so too does his name in this world rise. And God forbid, as we fall, so too his name in this world is defamed. It is a chilul Hashem. It is a colossal chilul Hashem. It is a defamation of God's name that we are in golus, that we are in exile. It's a terrible, terrible reflection on the state of how the world sees Hashem and thinks of Hashem. Hashem is saying that yes, of course it would be a greater kiddush Hashem if the Jews would come and destroy Sichon in Cheshbon. Yes, it would be a greater kiddush Hashem. But the Jews are the greatest of Kiddush Hashem. There is no greater Kiddush Hashem, there is no greater sanctification of God's name than the Jews themselves. Therefore, I put the Jews, their comfort level, over, so to speak, my own sanctification, my own name. That is brought out over here. It also shows, of course, the great love that Hashem has for us Jews. Pasuk Chava, verse 26. Now we describe this place, Cheshbon. Ki Cheshbon ir Sichon melech ha'emori hi. For Cheshbon was the city of Sichon, the king of the Amori. How did Cheshbon become this city of Sichon, of the Amori? V'hu nilcham b'melech Moav harishon. He, Sichon, had made a war with the first king of Moav. Vayikach eskol artzo miyado, and he took all of his land from his hands, ad Arnon, until Arnon. Now it doesn't mean that Sichon took over all the land of the Amori, but it took over a large swath of land that had belonged to Moab. I said the Amori. It does not mean that Sichon took over all the land of Moab, but it means that he took over a large portion of the land of Moab, all the way to Arnon. He took over the land by defeating the king, the original king of Moab. When we get to Parshas Balak, which is the next Parsha, which we'll get to soon, not tonight, we will find that Balak is the king of Moab. We will also learn that Balak became king recently. What happened to the original king of Moab? The original king of Moab was defeated by Sichon when Sichon took over Cheshbon and the area around Cheshbon from Arnon. He took over this large area when he defeated the king of Moab. How did he do that? How did Sihon manage to conquer Cheshbon? Cheshbon was, as I mentioned, an incredibly powerful fortress. How did he manage to defeat it? Pasuk Chavzayim, verse 27. Al Kain Yomru HaMoshlim. Therefore, the Moshlim, the rulers, or those who say parables, from the word mushal. Moshel means to rule. Mushal means a parable. So it either means the rulers, or it means those who say parables. They say, Bo'u Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon. Tibonev Sichonein, Ir Sichon, it should be built, and should be established as the city of Sichon. You see, Cheshbon was originally the great fortress and capital city of Moab, not of the Amori, not of Sichon. It was Moab's incredibly powerful city. Again, perhaps the most powerful of all cities of the world at that time. And Moab had it, which should have made Moab unconquerable, because they had the city of Cheshbon. Sihon wanted to conquer that place. He wanted Cheshbon to be his. And therefore, it says here that the Moshlim, the rulers, or those who say parables, said, come to Cheshbon. It should be built and it should be made, become established as the city of Sichon. Chazal tell us, this is a reference to Nevuah. There was a prophecy. Sichon wanted to conquer Cheshbon. He tried. He tried. He tried. And he tried. And he failed. And he failed. And he failed. And he failed. And he couldn't do it. And therefore he needed a prophecy. He didn't just need a prophecy. He needed a curse. He needed someone to curse Moab, the king of Moab, so that the city of Cheshbon could be defeated. And Sihon went to the one person who might be able to pull that off, and would be willing to pull that off, for the right price. And that was, of course, Bilam. And Bilam, who has not yet been mentioned in the Chumash, already is rearing his ugly head. And here, Bilam is the one who had a prophecy that was based on a curse. And the prophecy, the curse, was as follows. The Moshlim, those who say Mishalim, those who say parables, as you know, Bilam is referred to as someone who says a Mashal. We'll have that phrase in the next parasha, on Parashas Balak, on two occasions, or more than two occasions, when Bilam is saying his prophecy. It says, Vayisa Mishalo Vayomar. He lifted, so to speak, his parable, and he said, etc. That is Bilam. It says it in the plural. It says it Bilam in the plural, because Bilam's father, Beor, also was a prophet. I'm pretty sure that, let me just make sure I'm not making a mistake on that, on the plural language. Yeah. Bilam and Beor. Bilam ben Beor. Beor was Bilam's father. He was also a prophet, a non-Jewish prophet, although he was not as great as his son Bilam. Bilam and Beor, they said this prophecy, this curse, that Sichon should come to Cheshbon, and it will be rebuilt and reestablished as the city of Sichon. Pasuk Chaf Ches, verse 28, this prophecy slash curse continues. You'll see it reads very poetically, which means the words are hard to translate. Ki eish yatza me Cheshbon, for a fire has come out from Cheshbon. Lehava mi kiryas Sichon, a flame from the city of Sichon. It's no longer the city of Moab. Achla Ar Moab, it will consume Ar, which is an area of Moab. It will consume that area of Moab, meaning the people there will be killed. Balei Bamos Arnon, those who were on the high places of Arnon, that would be Moab, those who were on the high places of Arnon would now be destroyed. Oy lacha Moab, woe to you is Moab. If you wanted to see the word oy in the Chumash, here it is. Oy lecha Moav, woe to you is Moav. It doesn't say oy vei, but at least it says oy. Woe to you is Moav, avadata am Kemosh, you have been lost, the nation of Kemosh. What is Kemosh? Kemosh is the avodah zarah, the idolatry of Moav. And Moav is being referred to as the nation of Kemosh. How about that? Of course, Avodah Zarah has no validity. It has no reality. It is all a lie. But Moav believed in Kemosh. And therefore, they are called the nation of Kemosh. So the prophecy slash curse goes that woe to you is Moav, you have been lost, the nation of Kemosh. Nasan banav pleitim uvnosav bashevis. He has given the sons of Moav as pleitim, as a remnant, meaning many of them would be killed, many of the men would be killed. Uvnosav and his daughters bashevis would be captured, would be taken captive. Lemelech emori sichon, to who, or to whom, would they be captured? To the king of the Amori, that is Sichon. Sichon would now capture Moav and kill many of the sons, capture many of the daughters, take over Cheshbon. Vanirom avad Cheshbon ad Divon. And, okay, here we're going to move to the English translation because this is very hard to translate. Pasuk Lamed, verse 30, their sovereignty over Cheshbon was lost. It was removed from Dibon. Vanirom and their sovereignty, Avad Cheshbon was lost from Cheshbon ad Dibon, and it was lost or removed, ad here means removed, from Dibon. Vanashim ad Nofach, and it was destroyed, it says here in English, it was laid waste, until the place called Nofach, Asher ad Medva, which is until Medva. So many, many places are being mentioned here. We have Cheshbon, of course, that's the city. We have Divon, we have Nofach, we have Medva. All of these are areas or places in this, right near Cheshbon. And all these places have been destroyed and lost, and they are conquered by Sichon and taken over, and they go from the hands of Moav into the hands of Sichon. So let's just reiterate something which we've talked about before, but let's make sure we are on the same page. As was mentioned, when we came from Mitzrayim and we traveled to Eretz Yisrael, we were unable to attack Edom, we were unable to attack Moab, we were unable to attack Ammon. Edom was south of Eretz Yisrael, Moav was southeast of Eretz Yisrael, and Ammon was east of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we were totally cut off. We could not get into Eretz Yisrael. However, before we came, when we were wandering the desert, thinking that, oh, Hashem doesn't care about us, Hashem doesn't love us, Hashem has forsaken us because we misbehaved both with the Egel Hazav, the golden calf, and the Meraglim, the spies. So Hashem is just waiting for us all to die before He takes our children into Eretz Yisrael. When that was going on, there was a war that we Jews didn't know about, which you would have thought had nothing to do with us. And this war was because this man Sichon, who was a powerful man, wanted to conquer the place called Moav. He wanted the city of Cheshbon for himself. He wanted the surrounding areas for himself. He got this idea in his head, and he attacked, and he failed, and he attacked, and he failed, and he attacked, and he failed. You'd figure he'd give it up already. Enough. Go home. It's not going to work. You're not going to get it. It's the most powerful fortress in the world. You can't conquer it. But he won't give up. And so he goes to Bilam and to Bilam's father Beor, and he asks, and he pays a pretty penny. Curse Cheshbon, curse the king of Moab, so that I can conquer, we can conquer this area. I can conquer this area. And they do. They curse Moab, And then Sichon is finally able to conquer that area, and it becomes, Cheshbon becomes the city of Sichon. And the surrounding areas become the city, the area of Sichon. But there is a pivotal error that Sichon makes. He doesn't realize it's an error. But when he conquers, the area he conquers includes a very thin strip of land that runs between Moab on the south and Ammon on the north. And it cuts right between them out into the wilderness. So that if there would be, theoretically, a group of people who were not allowed to cut through Moab and not allowed to cut through Ammon, there would be a way in. And that would be this little tiny strip of land. In fact, it's such a tiny strip of land, people going through there are very vulnerable to being attacked from above, as we learned last time, that the Emori did try to attack us from above with throwing down stones on top of us as we passed through that narrow strait, and Hashem destroyed them before we even got there. And we would not have known about this had it not been for the well of Miriam, as we learned last time. And so the Sichon's conquering of Cheshbon and taking over that area unlocked Eretz Yisrael for us. That's what unlocked it. And we were then able to come through, and we were able to attack Sichon as we just did, and conquer Sichon, and conquer Cheshbon. Even that great city of Cheshbon now becomes our city, which was not the case before. All of this because of that little strip of land that was included in Sichon's conquest of Cheshbon from the Amori. Who enabled Sichon to conquer the Amori, and which opened up that little strip of land? That's going to be Bilam. Bilam and his father Baor are the ones who ultimately opened up Eretz Yisrael for us. Unwittingly, but that's what they did. In the next parasha, in Parashas Balak, we are going to find that the Moab people are terrified of us Jews. After what we do to Sichon and to Og, everybody's terrified of us Jews. We must be very, very, very powerful. And therefore, they are scared of us. And what do? They go and hire Bilam to curse us. Which results, of course, instead of curses, it results in brachos. And ultimately, it's going to result in the violent death of Bilam. Bilam is going to be killed in his quest to hurt us. Bilam sets it all in motion. When he curses Moab, who is in Cheshbon, and therefore the city of Cheshbon and the surrounding areas are transferred to Sichon, that opens up the door for us to come through, which then in turn leads to Bilam trying to stop us and Bilam getting killed. And all of that is because of the city of Cheshbon and this curse. Does Bilam understand what is going on? When Bilam curses, and because of that Sichon takes over, and because of that we're able to come through, does Bilam understand all of that? This is a subject that we will have to cover in Parashas Balak. Does Bilam realize? Hopefully we're going to remember to circle back to this point about Bilam's understanding of what was going on with the Jewish people when we were locked out of Eretz Yisrael. What if Sichon would not have hired Bilam? Then what? Well, that question doesn't have to be answered. Hashem made it happen. Hashem wanted us to go through. Hashem made it happen that Sichon would want to go into Cheshbon and would hire Bilam and would end up going in and conquering it, and it becomes his land. We are allowed to attack Sichon. We're not allowed to attack Ammon and Moab. And this is the language which I believe we've used before. Ammon u'Moav tiharu b'Sichon. Ammon and Moab become purified, meaning become accessible to us Jews, through Sichon, through Sichon's conquest. And that's how it happens over here, that we are able to conquer Sichon and Cheshbon. It becomes ours, and all of the surrounding areas become ours. And now we're only left with Og to deal with. I want to pause here for any questions on what we've done so far tonight. I'm just monitoring the chat. I don't see any questions written in. Anybody have anything to ask so far? Okay. Now, when we conquered Sihon, there was there is more detail about what we conquered. That's going to be discussed later, not here in Parshas Chukas, but later on in the Chumash we'll discuss the various cities that we conquered. But there are more areas there besides Sihon. So the Pasuk says in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31, Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz ha'Amori, and the Jews dwelled in the land of the Amori. Vayishlach Moshe liragel es Yazer. Moshe sent messengers to agents to spy out a place called Yazer. Vayilkidu binoseha, and they, the spies, conquered Yazer's smaller towns around it. Vayoresh es ha'Amori asher sham, and they conquered the Amori who were there. Rashi tells us, these spies, when they went to Yazer, they said, we're not making the same mistake as the previous generation. The previous generation, when Moshe Rabbeinu sent them as spies, they came back with a bad report. We are not going to make that same mistake. We are going to rely on Hashem that we can defeat them. And they said, we're not even going to go back to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're just going to attack. And they did, and they single-handedly defeated the army of Yazer and took over that area. And so it is a tikkun, it is a way of undoing the evil that had been done before with the spies, and this time we conquer without incident for ourselves, and we conquer Yazer. And we're able to then take over that area as we continue in our defeating of the nations in Eber HaYarden on the west bank, east bank of the Jordan River. And that will bring us to Og. So I do not want to start this tonight. I'm going to leave this for next week. I do want to mention to you one more thing before we stop for this evening. But Og is a study in and of itself, and we're going to leave that for next time. The Bilam and Beor, who we read about, Bilam and Beor, that Bilam is this prophet who is also able to curse, and Beor, Chazal tell us, we know Beor, the father of Bilam, by another name. There's another name that we know Beor by, and we have met him earlier in the Chumash. And Beor's other name is Lavan. Lavan ha'Arami. Lavan is the other name for Beor. Bilam is the son of Lavan, and that's who wanted to curse the Jewish people. This thought is something which we're going to, of course, develop further when we get to Parshas Balak. But for now, understand that when Sihon went to get this curse or this prophecy that he will be able to conquer Moab, that was issued by Lavan and his son, Beor, which is Lavan, and Bilam, one of the sons of Lavan. Okay, we will, Mirtz Hashem, continue next week. Again, let me pause. Any questions before we break? Okay, wish we had a map to look at. I agree. I'm going to try to have a map for next time. Belina, or I'm going to try to have a map to share a screen with a map. Okay, everybody should have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.